Welcome to Music Monday here on Word of Mom Radio on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here just week after week breaking those myths that mompreneurs and women who work from home are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And every once in a while, I have the opportunity to share people that I know and love in real life on a day-to-day basis, and today is one of those days. And for those of you who are fans of our show, you have already met Julia Brunetta Simpson, who has been with us, and we are sharing Brunetta Productions and her fabulous show that is coming up. And I just want to give you a little background on her first. Through plays, musicals, and concerts that inspire, educate, and entertain, Brunetta Productions honors and celebrates contributions made to society and the world culture by African Americans. They provide affordable access to the arts for a diverse audience by presenting performances and cultural events in schools, libraries, theaters, churches, festivals, and other community venues. They're able to perform at corporate events, and they also help not-for-profit organizations entertain donors and raise money at their fundraising events. And Julia herself, you know, she's appeared around the country in regional dinner theater and stock and festivals. She has earned her BFA degree in musical theater at Syracuse University. She's a member of Equity, SAG, and AFTRA. You can listen to her CDs, Classy and Sassy, a Lena Horne tribute, and Here's to Life at cdbaby.com, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, and here on Word of Mom Radio. And she is the founder and artistic director of Brunetta Productions. So after hearing all of that, wow, isn't it amazing to hear all that stuff about yourself, Julia?
Welcome back to Word of Mom. It really is. I'm like, wow, I've been doing all of that.
I know, right? It's like, who's she talking? Oh, she's talking about me. Oh, my goodness.
Me, that-
right?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
You know, I'm excited for you. I want you to tell us what is going on. I know that you are part of an amazing festival right now. So let everybody know about this.
Well, it is the United Solo Theater Festival, and I am actually so, so excited about it because this is their 10th anniversary year. And the United Solo Festival is held in the heart of the theater district right on 42nd Street. The complex is called Theater Row, and they have been doing amazing work with solo artists, and this is the largest solo theater festival in the world.
Wow.
And so Exactly. So I'm really so honored to have my show Harlem on My Mind chosen from hundreds of shows to be presented during this festival. The festival kicked off yesterday and it's going into November. And so I am November 24th, as a matter of fact. So there's going to be so many artists that are going to be able to perform their works. And it's really a wonderful opportunity. And Harlem on My Mind, which started originally as a cabaret and became this one-woman show, I'm just honored that it will be a part of the United Solo Theater Festival 10th anniversary year. It's just very exciting to me to be down there amongst all of the artists, like I said, from around the world. And so when I get to share the stage with fabulous musicians that I'm so blessed to work with, it, and Mario Sprouse will be at the helm as musical director this time. And it's just very exciting for all of us to be a part of this.
Give our audience a little taste of what Harlem on My Mind is about, what this one woman show is.
It is my little character, Doll Baby Red. She comes up and she's enamored. She's in the South, and the year is 1925, And she has been hearing about the wonderful things that are going on in Harlem with music and literature and art. And for the first time ever, black people and black artists and writers are being acknowledged for our contributions to the arts. So she has been hearing about our Harlem, reading about Harlem. Friends have come home who have moved up and talking about Harlem. So she's so excited. She has been trying to get started as a singer, and she's been having doors slammed in her face down in the South during, you know, Jim Crow, and so it's really it's rough down South. And so she has this vision that Harlem is going to solve all of her problems, and she's so excited to leave the South and go up there and be amongst her people. And along, so she does it. She gets to Harlem, and along the way, she encounters some wonderful people, like Thomas Fats Walla at just, you know, neighborhood rent parties, because everybody's struggling to pay the rent. So they throw parties, and they sell fried chicken and fish, and they party all night long, and people pay between 10 and 50 cents admission at the door to get in, and prohibition's going on as well. So there's some bootleg liquor going on that you can get a hold of there at these rent parties. And so they're dancing the night away, and they're getting the rent paid in the process. So there's a lot of fun, but there's also, and the story, her story is sort of also told through the musical choices in the show. So sort of highlights the feeling that even though it seems like everything is glamorous and everybody's bubbly and up all the time, you know, when you get to, when she gets to Harlem, she finds out that, in a lot of ways, things really haven't changed that much. Yeah. So, you know, racism is still going on. Harlem, you know, people are living, you know, tend to a room sometimes. They're sleeping in shifts because, you know, it's so expensive, and it's more expensive to live in Harlem. After white flight, you know, the whites move out, and when the blacks move in, and suddenly the properties aren't as nice, aren't being kept up. So she's comes to realize that maybe she was a little naive in her thinking, but at the same time, she is growing and learning and a part of this very exciting time called the Harlem Renaissance. So, and
well, you know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say this is a perfect setup for Black and Blue.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is a perfect setup. Tell us a little bit about this song before we play it.
Black and Blue is written by Thomas Fats Walla, and it really... It expresses the pain, the real pain that people carry in their souls, and really to this day, so many people still that face injustices, and it sort of talks about, you know, on the inside you may not admit the pain that you're going through and the things that you think and feel, and no matter what you do, sometimes you can't get away from the fact that your skin is brown, and people have problems with that just because your skin is brown. So it sort of speaks to all of that, and the lyrics can be a little shocking, a little harsh at one point, but it's real. It was real then, and it's real, unfortunately, today.
Well, you know, let's listen to Black and Blue.
Even the mouse
Wow. It's kind of sad in my eyes that these lyrics are still relevant today.
Mine as well.
I'm serious, Julia. I was just talking to somebody not too long ago about, you know, being a woman in business, you have to work twice as hard to be thought of as half as good. But
oh,
I can't imagine what it is to walk in and just have somebody not like me because my ancestors grew up in a different part of the world, you know, and that my skin is this beautiful mahogany color or what I'll never understand it. I thank God every day that I was never raised with that, that my mother told me if there was any difference between the races, you could never have children together. Let's face it, a dog and a cat might love each other, but they can't have babies because they're different species. We are all the same.
It's
sad that in the 21st century, these lyrics are still so relevant.
Oh, absolutely,
you know?
Doria. I totally agree with you. It's really something. And the more things seem to change, the more they stay the same. It's frightening. We're in a frightening time right now.
Yes, we are. We truly, truly are. And that's why what you are doing, even though it is set back, you know, in the last century and everything else, it is so relevant. It is so important. And I totally applaud you that you have continued on, you know, with these works, bringing these to the public because people need to open their eyes. People need to stop being Sunday Christians that are Christians
Amen.
While they're sitting in church, you know?
Amen.
And then other than that, boy, they walk out and, man, it's like Michael Corleone, you know? it really amazes me. It truly does. So in creating this, what was the toughest part of it for you?
Well, you know, when I first started with the cabaret version, it was truly just because I loved and wanted to perform and honor and sing these wonderful songs, this beautiful music. But I also, because the whole mission and I guess the creation of Brunetta Production and the cabaret version of the show sort of came together at the same time. So I realized that when I was doing cabaret and stuff, I always wanted to include things that were pertinent to the songs and that I wanted to sort of not only perform the music, but elevate the music and educate people about the music and the artists and what was going on at the time period. And so I was finding that as I was doing that, you know, you have to be careful that you don't get to be too academic. But what I was doing was reading and discovering, information about the time period, about the artist. And I wanted to put that all out there. And the cabaret version, I thought, well, you know, maybe this is a little bit too much. So when we decided, me and, a few close team members, as I'm calling them these days, that I wanted this show to sort of go from cabaret into really a one-woman show and more of an educational piece while still celebrating and performing what we call an educating while entertaining, that to pair all that information, there's just so much. And to pare that down to an hour show is really difficult to pick and choose and have just enough without it being too much to set up the songs and sort of carry her little story forward. So I started working with Ms. Shornell Perry, who is a very brilliant director and writer and educator here in New York City. As she and I started to collaborate and work together to sort of hone in on the essence of, and it's very difficult. It takes hours and hours to take all this information and sort of pare it down and then find out just the essence of what you want to say and how you want to say it and leading into the songs and coming out of the songs to, like I say, develop the storyline that people can follow and a character that you can be identify with and be in touch with and try to accomplish all of that in an hour's time. I mean, there are really just so many versions of this show that I could be doing. It's just that over time, you know, you start at one place, and over time the show evolves and evolves and it changes, and some songs may come and some songs go. And then eventually you sort of say, okay, I think we're here now. And I think that it's really great that I have the opportunity to be a part of the festival this year, because I really think I've got the show now to the place where it really lives, where it, that's where what it is, it's, that's what it's meant to be. And so I feel very good about that and sharing that. And I've loved the piece all along as it's grown, and I've always gotten great response from the audience. But I think that and that's why I keep telling people, you know, some people say, well, I saw it. Well, if you didn't see it recently, you really haven't seen this show. And the beauty of live theater, as you know, Dory, is that you could see the same show every night of the week, and it's going to be a little bit different. Because even if you're doing the same exact songs, the same exact lines, that energy, every audience is different. It feeds the artist in a different way. And so the experience of the show is going to be different. So that, to me, is what's so exciting about being in theater and doing live performance on stage.
It really is. There's nothing like it, because it's exactly true. You can work with the same performers every single day, and something is going to change. You know, something, because you never know. You just don't know. And that's the beauty of live theater, is that you always have to pay attention. You have to be in that moment. You can't just, oh, I've been doing this for so long and whatever. No, because the day that you settle in and you're phoning in that performance, that's the day your cue gets missed or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I was doing Lola and Damn Yankees leading into I've Got the Zing, and my piano player gave me the wrong note leading in. I have relative pitch, so I just sang, and I knew the note I was supposed to be singing, not what she played. And she said to me afterwards, oh, my gosh, thank God. I made the mistake of saying, well, I never really listened because I know what I have to sing. So now every night after that, she tried. She did everything she could to try to throw me off. It became like a contest. But again, the beauty of live theater, that you have to be in that moment. You can't just fluff it over, you know, and think it'll all work out. You really, and I can't even imagine the pressure of a one-woman show. Because you have no one else to rely on. You drop your cue, it's like, well, oh, but, you know, as you're up there juggling, you know, trying to figure out where you're going to get yourself out. I mean, I applaud you. I applaud you,
applaud you.
I've had, you know, chances to see you perform, and you are such a wonderful performer. But, you know, doing a one-woman show is just, no one has any concept of what it is when you are the only performer on that stage, you know. And I want to lead this into Stormy Weather, which is still one of my favorite songs. So lead us into that song, please.
Well, the thing about Stormy Weather is it's one of my all-time favorite songs. I mean, I started singing the song because I just simply love it. I've used it. I think it's, you can find it on both the CDs, Here's to Life, the first CD, and then it's used in the Classy and Sassy, the Lena Horne tribute show that I recently began performing. And the interesting thing about Stormy Weather is that Stormy Weather, everybody sort of thinks about it and knows it from Lena Horne. It's her signature song. And it comes from the movie Stormy Weather. And so everybody thinks about, the first person you think about when you hear Stormy Weather is Lena Horne. But the interesting thing is it's Ethel Waters, who was the first black woman to perform on the radio and was a big, huge star of the vaudeville circuit, as well as movies and TV as well. She is the one that introduced Stormy Weather at the Cotton Club.
So, see, the story behind the story. Let's listen to this song, which again is one of my favorites.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my life is bad. Gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather. Just can't get my folks together. I'm weary all the time.
You can hear why this is one of my favorite songs. You know, the lyrics in that song are so beautiful. My mom was a performer. She used to sing that song as well. And there's just something about it.
Yeah. Heartbreak Hotel.
You know, you know, really, it really is just, you know, I had the opportunity when I used to work in Manhattan at a restaurant on Restaurant Row to serve Miss Horn when she was doing A Lady and Her Music on Broadway. She came in one night with her entourage. We had just closed the kitchen, and she came walking in. Our chef was like, whatever she wants, let us know. And when I tell you, Kathy made her an amazing meal. She sent the staff a bottle of Dom Perignon because we were staying late for her. She was the loveliest, loveliest woman. But I remember reading a quote from her once about how these people who come to see her perform, she still couldn't walk in their front door.
Mm, yes, indeed.
I can't, you know, I'm telling you, I can't fathom that, I mean, because she was just, I can't even tell you what a classy, beautiful, beautiful woman, so soft-spoken. But boy, did she have it inside. Was she tough as nails?
Tough as nails, absolutely.
And you know,
she could be. She could let you know about it, know that, and let you have it as well.
As well she should.
Absolutely.
Well she should, you know. So we've got to start wrapping this up. And normally we close out with our theme song, If She Is You, but we're actually going to close out with Stomping at the Savoy because I figured I'd leave that as our, you know, play out song, you know. So set it up for us as we're, and let everybody know how to find you, about the festival, where they can see you perform and everything else, Julia.
Well, you can go to my website, BrunettaProductions.com, BrunettaETTA, Productions, all one word, .com, and you can find the information for the upcoming United Solo Festival. There's a link on the page under News and Events that you can click right on, and it will take you to the website to purchase the tickets. The show is being performed on Tuesday evening, October 8th at 7:30, and that's at Theater Row right on 42nd Street. So I hope people will come out and just have a great time as the Harlem Renaissance explodes during the Solo Festival, the United Solo Theater Festival. So, and Stomping at the Savoy is really one of those beautiful, fun, elegant songs that I love to perform. The Savoy Ballroom up in Harlem, it literally took up the whole city block. And so Doll Baby is just enamored of the musicians and the dancers. And you would go there and everybody knew all the dances and people would dance. I mean, the dance floor was packed. And it was literally 10,000 square foot, beautiful. I mean, crystal cut chandeliers. I mean, the place was stunningly beautiful. And I think that the song reflects that.
I do too. And just so you know, all of the links and everything will also be up on our show page here on Word of Mom Radio. On Blog Talk, it's going to be up on wordofmomradio.com. It'll be on our sites everywhere. So I encourage you, if you are out, get out. If you're not from New York, but you have friends who are, connect them to this because it is a wonderful festival and it is a wonderful opportunity to get to see some real history happening. So, Julia, thank you so much for coming back again and sharing with us on a Music Monday. It's always, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, George. It is my pleasure, and thank you so much for helping me to get the word out. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So on behalf of everyone here on Word of Mom Radio and at the Word of Mom Media Network, enjoy Stomping at the Savoy.
Happy feet a chance to dance. Your form just like a clinging vine. Your lips so warm and sweet as wine. Your cheeks so soft and close to mine. Divine. Perfect holiday, Savoy, where we can glide and sway. Savoy, there let me stomp away with you. Do-do-fitty-ba-dee, do-do-fitty-ba-bee. Ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-da, joy, a perfect holiday. Savoy, where we can glide and sway.